Dear brothers and sisters, today we will look at the parable of the minas written in the Luke chapter 19. There are some who consider the parable of the minas the same as the parable of the talents, but they each have different spiritual meanings. Simply put, the parable of the talents means that the Lord's recognition is based on how well you have fulfilled your missions with the talents given. Carrying out a mission in the Lord's name cannot be done simply with physical talent. It requires spiritual abilities. It requires spiritual abilities, meaning spiritual talents of faith, hope, and love. What is the spiritual meaning of the parable of the minas? The chapter begins with a story on Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 records Jesus' words, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The parable added to these words in the parable of the minas and relates to salvation. Verse 11 of today's passage writes, "While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately." Jesus's proximity to Jerusalem meant that his crucifixion and fulfillment of the way of salvation had drawn closer. People expected Jesus to become the Messiah with worldly authority and thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. However, because Jesus came as the Messiah, they thought of him as the political Messiah. They thought that he would become the king and resolve their political issues. They had that expectation. But unlike their expectation, however, the kingdom of God cannot be attained with the click of the fingers. Jesus wanted to teach the people the truth through the parable of the minas. Clearly, Jesus came as a Savior and Messiah, but unlike their physical expectation, people wanted to be released from their oppression from the Rome. People expect Jesus to resolve their issues. Jesus came as their spiritual Savior. And Jesus explained that through the parable of the 10 minas. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will also understand God's will, bear fruit accordingly, and turn into God's joy through today's word. Dear brothers and sisters, let's take a detailed look at the spiritual meaning of the parable of the minas through today's passage. Verses 12 and 13 tells us, "A nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself, and then returned, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.' The nobleman, an invaluable person, refers to Jesus. Jesus came to this earth in flesh. Having been in the form of God, essentially, Jesus is more precious than any powerful or wealthy person in the world. Another reason that Jesus was compared to the nobleman is that Jesus hadn't been crucified at this time. This meant that Jesus was not yet the Savior, nor had become the king. What does mina represent? Mina is a unit of money that Jesus compared to the Holy Spirit. Just as the nobleman distributed minas to his servants before leaving, the Holy Spirit also came shortly after the Lord's resurrection and ascension. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Just as the 10 minas were divided equally amongst the 10 servants, we believers also equally received one Holy Spirit. This is different from the parable of the talents. As the talents spiritually refer to faith, hope, and love, some people may receive 2 talents and others 5 talents. Everyone equally receives one mina, as mina represents the Holy Spirit. The nobleman who gave each servant a mina of silver went to a distant country to receive a throne and return. The distant country refers to heaven, God the Father's abode. Unlike this parable, the Lord did not give the Holy Spirit before going to heaven. The Holy Spirit was given after the Lord's resurrection and ascension. The slight change of order in the parable also has a spiritual meaning. The Lord, who resurrected in 3 days after His burial, first appeared to Mary Magdalene and proclaimed His resurrection. Afterwards, the Lord went to heaven, the Father's abode, and appeared before His disciples that evening. I think you understand this message. You remember that message. After He died on the cross, after He drew His last breath and He was buried, He was laid in the grave, but His spirit went to the upper grave and stayed there for 3 days. What happened? You may wonder, what happened? He was there in the upper grave for 3 days, and after His resurrection, He appeared Himself to Mary Magdalene. And as Magdalene tried to touch Jesus, Jesus said that he had to go to the Father. So after, that means during the 3 days after his burial, He didn't meet the Father, but He stayed in the upper grave, sharing the gospel with the souls. And after His resurrection, He went to heaven to meet the Father, and then that evening, He went back to His disciples, appeared Himself to His disciples, according to the Bible. The records, because there are, you have to understand this in an organized way, because there are several records about that. After He resurrected, He went to the Father, and after He went to the Father, He received a throne. After He died, He resurrected, and He became our Savior, and He became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we all confess. This is why? This is because He received a throne and appeared Himself to the disciples. You have to understand the order, and the order in the parable and this order is a little bit different. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. This meant that some disciples would see Jesus, the Son of Man, die, resurrecting by shattering the power of death and appearing in a resurrected body as the King. As prophesied, the disciples, except for Judas Iscariot, were able to directly see the resurrected Lord. The Lord had already received the throne, so why did He receive the throne? Which means, after He was resurrected, after He met Father God and came down, He came as the King. He had already received the throne at this point. But in the parable, the nobleman gave the minas, and then he went to a distant country to. Why? The Lord had already received the throne. So why does the parable say that the nobleman gave minas before going to a distant country to receive the throne? Does it mean that the Lord went to heaven to receive the throne after giving the Holy Spirit? The throne in the parable doesn't refer to Jesus' throne, but the throne of God's children who have received salvation. The throne in the parable doesn't refer to Jesus' throne, but the throne of God's children who have received salvation. Though the Lord had already received the throne through resurrection, those who have become God's children by believing in the Lord hadn't yet. This means that we received the Holy Spirit and become God's saved children, but still live in the world. We are restoring the image of God through the human cultivation in a world ruled by the enemy devil and Satan. Then, when do we have complete salvation, complete restoration? It's when the Lord descends into the air. During that time, those who are saved will enter the wedding banquet as the Lord's bride. From this point on, they are not merely a human being of this earth. They are princes and princesses of heaven. Just as their human body transforms into a resurrected body, everything changes. You also will become like priests, like a king, and you will become sons and daughters of God, and you will perfectly restore the authority as God's children and live eternally in heaven. Until that point, we have to understand the parable of the 10 minus and have to successfully do business with the Holy Spirit. What does the Lord mean in verse 13? Do business with this until I come back. It tells us to do business with the Holy Spirit until the Lord's return. You and I, who have been saved, have received the Holy Spirit, and we have to do business with it and gain profits. How can we go about business with the Holy Spirit? Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 writes, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Selling all that we have and buying that field refers to spiritual business. What does this mean? What does this mean? What people call their possessions are the fleshly things of the heart, like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life, sins, evil, and untruth. As these things are all thrown away, you can have a better heart field. So whatever planted can bear good fruit. Worldly people, look at the worldly people. They stick to their pride. Sometimes they say, if I let go of my pride, I'm a corpse. I'm a dead person. I have to stick to my pride. This is like their possessions. Some people say that. Even though they don't say that directly, they have their such ill feelings. They have hatred. They have someone whom they hate. Even though they don't directly express their feelings, they oppress the feelings, and they suffer. They have to let out their feelings so that they feel refreshed. This is their ego. They have to let go of their ego. They have to sell their ego. They have to put their self or ego to death so that the Lord inside them is alive and at work, so that the Holy Spirit in them is active. But even though you have received the Holy Spirit, if you still insist on your ego, insist on your being right, what would happen? The Holy Spirit in you cannot be at work, cannot be active. Unless the Holy Spirit is active, you still live, you are filled with your ego or self, that's why you cannot gain spirit. That means you cannot do business. You have to do business with the mana, with the minor. But when the Holy Spirit does not work, you also live a life not different from when you were not believing in the Lord. You have to cultivate your I mean, the more you cultivate your heart with the Spirit, the better heavenly dwelling place you can enter. This means that selling the untruth of the heart and buying the good heart of truth is spiritual business. As the Lord has, you have to sell your untruth and gain a good heart of the truth. This is the how you do business in a spiritual sense. How thankful you should be. You have to sell your untruth. And then, what are you going to get? You have to gain good things of the truth. This can happen in our faith. You have to remove evil and untruth. The more you do that, the more of the goodness, the more of the truth, the more of the can fill your heart. If you insist on loving the world, then you cannot have spiritual things in your heart. Simply put, you have all the, if you have your heart filled with the fleshly things, how could the things of the truth come into your heart? You have to empty your heart, which is filled with untruth and fleshly things. Only then can you fill your heart with spiritual things. The process of emptying your heart, the process of, this may feel like it's hard and difficult, but we have to successfully do business with the Holy Spirit. As the Lord has gone to heaven, the Holy Spirit sent by the Father God helps His children carry on spiritual business. John chapter 16 verse 8 tells us, and He, when He, the Holy Spirit comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You have to do business with the Holy Spirit. You have to receive inspiration of the Holy Spirit continually, and you have to cultivate your spiritual heart. This is how you do business with the minor. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how we pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit within not only helps us realize sin, but also helps us get rid of sins and pursue goodness through prayer. Therefore, to do business with the Holy Spirit, referring to the mina, means to remove sinful natures and evil from our hearts, to cultivate our hearts with the truth, and restore the image of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, the nobleman received the throne and returned. He called his slaves to know what business they'd done. What business they'd done. The first appeared and said, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And the master said, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second said, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. The master said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Though each slave equally received a single mina, the first gained 10, the second gained 5. The master's response, and at this point, the master's response distinctly differ for each. To the one who gained 10 minas, the nobleman praised and said, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very small matter. Take authority over 10 cities. But the slave who made 5 minas did not receive such praise. The nobleman only said, and you are to be over 5 cities. This is also different from the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Whether the slave doubled their amount to 4 or 10 talents, the master praised them equally, saying, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Whether someone has many talents or not, God praises them when they do their best and double it. It's the, That's why you shouldn't be envious of others' duties, whether you have small duty or big duty. You shouldn't think, my duty is good or not. Whatever you receive, you have to give thanks and you have to do your best. But if you just, that person's duty is so precious, that person's duty is so big, I'm jealous, I'm envious of him, but my duty is insignificant. Don't have to think that. For each of your duties, you have to do your best. Whether someone has received a great duty and doubled it, also, when you do your best, and you will receive the praise from God as well. Let's say you bear fruit with your duty, and then Father God will grow your... But if you refuse to... I mean, Father God gives you duties according to your... You cannot call whether some duty is precious or not. In quiet and... But by the way, but it is different in the parable of the 10 minas. People... 칭찬이 있었고 칭찬이 없었고라고 하는 차이가 확연했다는 것이 There is clear difference. This isn't to avoid repeating the same words, but there surely is a spiritual meaning embedded in it. 칭찬을 기록하셨고 다섯 문어 남긴 이에게는 기록을 안 하셨는데 이거는 반복될까 봐 줄이셨나 봐. You may think that of the Bible didn't I mean You have to know that there surely is a spiritual meaning embedded in it. What is the difference between making 10 minas with 1 mina and making 5 minas with it? First, the person who made 10 minas with 1 mina refers to someone who received the Holy Spirit and lived diligently in the Word of God. They've pushed out the works of the flesh and things of the flesh, entering complete sanctification. To the slave who gained 10 minas, the Lord said, Take authority over 10 cities. 10 cities, 10 cities refers to the earth's, 10 cities refer to the earth's territories. Then, where does the slave who gained 10 minas, the completely sanctified, dwell in heaven? It would be the third kingdom of heaven. A completely sanctified person can enter the third kingdom of heaven, and when we are faithful in all our household, we'll be able to enter New Jerusalem. Then, where does the one who made 5 minas and was given 5 cities dwell? The five minas represent half the achievement of a completely sanctified person. It means that he worked hard to get rid of untruth and replace it with truth, but only put in half the effort of the person who gained 10 minas. According to the justice of God, rewarding each person according to their deeds, the 5 cities given refer to the second kingdom. Since the person with 5 minas adhere to more than half of God's word, they have reached a level of faith where they can live by the word, which is the third level of faith. They are able to enter the second kingdom. Here we have to think about that. You may think, even if we enter the second kingdom of heaven, we cannot receive the praise from the God and the Lord. You have to realize that. At least you have to enter the third kingdom of heaven. You have to become sanctified. Only then can you receive a praise from the Lord. Moreover, you have to achieve a whole spirit and become faithful in all God's household and restore the image of lost image of God and enter New Jerusalem. Then you can bring joy to Him. You have to have such a goal and run with zeal. By the way, verse 20 says, Another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. In today's terms, wrapping a mina in a handkerchief means just keeping it in the wallet. the slave had no intention of selling and just preserved it. In verse 21, the slave made excuses saying, "For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow." This goes against the spiritual law, which tells us you will reap what you sow. The Lord says these excuses are words of an evil person. Verse 22 says, he didn't work hard. He gained nothing. But he described his master as a strange person. He made that excuse. And the Lord said that this is an excuse of an evil person. Verse 22 says, he said to him, "By your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I'm an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow?" Those who have received the Holy Spirit but don't fight against sin and still commit the works and things of the flesh are evil people. In Matthew 25's parable of the talent, the slave who simply kept the one talent was called a wicked and lazy slave. People who have talents but do not fulfill their missions are lazy. Those who only kept the minor didn't get rid of sin and continue to commit the works of the flesh even with the Holy Spirit's awakening. So they are wicked rather than being lazy. These people also misunderstand Father God and the Lord of love. They consider God as a fearful one who punishes and blames God when a tribulation occurs. It's important, even though they didn't live by the word, it's important to not misunderstand God, who granted us amazing love of completely sacrificing His only Son to save sinners. But the wicked don't try to get rid of sin and become sanctified, but accumulate more evil. This represents the slave who received one mina but did no business with it and spoke evil words. The Lord said to the people of this kind in verses 23 and 24, "Why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest." Then he said to the bystanders, Take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas." Verse 25 says, "They said to him, 'Master, he has 10 minas already.'" The next verse tells us, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." Everyone who has, namely people who have gained 10 manas, will receive more, but the one who does not have, what does this mean? As for the one who gained 10 minas, namely the one who received the Holy Spirit and become sanctified by completely casting off sin, what kind of heart does he have? They have a heart full of the love for Father God and fervent faithfulness for the kingdom of God. They've done business well with the Holy Spirit and achieved sanctification. But they don't stop there. They become all the more filled with the Holy Spirit and wholly devote themselves in working for God's kingdom. Running with greater zeal, they contemplate how to please the Lord, how to expand the kingdom of God more, and how to glorify the Father. They don't say, "Because I become sanctified, because I become man of spirit or whole spirit, I have to take a break." Because if you are changed, the Holy Spirit rejoices. That's why you cannot stay still. So even after gaining 10 minas, God gives them one more mina so they can gain more. However, the evil are different. They simply don't repent even after hearing the word of God that points out sins. They hate it when sermons prickle their conscience. These people judge how the preacher is talking about them again and harbor ill feelings. Despite having received the Holy Spirit, if they only follow the desires of the flesh instead of the desires of the Spirit can be extinguished. When they have one talent, and then their spirit is extinguished, and they become far from the salvation. You have to keep this in mind. Just keeping one mina means your spirit hasn't been extinguished, but when it is taken away, and you have to know that. Why? Because you don't do business. You just keep it, not doing anything. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 4 through 6 gives us words regarding these people. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted a good word of repentance. And the verse 27 of today's passage says, "But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence." Verse 14 mentions, "We do not want this man to reign over us." There were people who said that. They were those who did not want Jesus to be their Savior. Such people were there in Jesus' time, and they are in current times as well. These people will eventually see death. They will receive the punishment of the spiritual death and suffer in hell for eternity. Do people who don't want the Lord to reign only refer to those who don't acknowledge Him? A person who only keeps the one mina and still lives in sins with an unsanctified heart cannot say to be truly believe that the Lord is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you truly believe, you know that because you know that the Lord died on the cross. That's why, in order to repay that love, you don't want to live in sins anymore. Some people, however, befriend the world and live in sins. They cannot said to be believe in the Lord, our being Savior. Matthew chapter 7:21 writes, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." We who believe in Jesus Christ and have received the grace of salvation must always be thankful for God's love and diligently do business with the Holy Spirit until we gain more than 10 minus. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters. Have you checked your diligence in business through today's word? All of us have equally received one mina. How many minas have you gained so far? Some may have gained only 2 or 3 minas, or some 5. Some may have gained 8 or 9 minas, close to 10. But to please our Lord and receive His compliment, we must make at least 10 minas. This is because we need to enter at least the third kingdom of heaven and become true children, befitting the purpose of the cultivation. May you all be thankful for the love that has been given to you and transform more zealously. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become Christians who can gain at least 10 minus and become a source of great joy to Father God. Most of all, you, the people who made 10 minus will be over 10 cities and 5 minus over 5 cities. You live in everlasting heaven. You will live there forever. And you have to at least enter the kingdom of heaven so that you can be embraced in our Lord's bosom. But if you just end up in first kingdom of heaven or paradise where you don't even have your houses of your own, you just have only a single outfit. What about your first kingdom of heaven and second kingdom of heaven? They are better than the paradise, but even though they have their house, they cannot be compared to the third kingdom of heaven or New Jerusalem. Even in your house, on earth, you want to live in a better house. That's why you have to have spiritual greed, spiritual. That's why you have to circumcise your heart. If that mind and engraved in your heart, no one else can do it for you. You have to do your own business for yourself. You have to remember the grace received and zealously do business with the Holy Spirit and cast off even the original evil so that you can become sanctified. Being sanctified is not the end, but you have to fully recover the lost image of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and become faithful and end up in a place in heaven where you can see the Lord and our Father in person.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.